In this episode of Startups for the Rest of Us, Rob and I are going to be talking about 14 ideas for high-impact lead magnets. This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 248. Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us, the podcast that helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at launching software products, whether you've built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Mike.
And I'm Rob.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. What's going on this week, Rob?
New iTunes reviews, sir. We're at 432 worldwide reviews in iTunes. Going to read a couple. The first is from Nick Good in the U.S. He says, inspiring and enjoyable, a great podcast to listen to. It's full of actionable advice and every episode has inspired me. We have Koklav from Germany, who says, very practical and I like the varied topics. A good Tuesday starts with Startups for the Rest of Us. I don't conceive of riding my bike on a Tuesday without listening to a new episode. In fact, I will actually ride my bike in order to listen to a new episode of this podcast. So thanks so much for the five-star reviews. If you haven't given us a review, I'd appreciate it if you could log into Stitcher or iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Give us a five-star review. Even if you don't leave a review, a full-on text multi-sentence review, it really helps us, keeps us motivated. Mike reads this when he's sad and alone night.
And, I'm crying into my pillow.
Exactly. And it helps us rank and helps us grow our listenership, which is going to keep us producing the podcast. We've been doing it for 5 years now, and hopefully we can do it for another. How are things with you?
Well, I recently took a short-term consultant gig, and the impetus for that was it doesn't pay very much, to be perfectly honest, so I definitely did not take it for the money, but it has implications for potentially an audit shark sale down the road. And the people who are having me on this project, they basically have a enterprise-wide compliance project that they need to have solved. So I was kind of brought in and tapped to go in and take a look at everything and help them put all the data together in a way that they need it to be done. And I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but it's pretty exciting so far.
Yeah. You haven't consulted for more than a year, I think. How is it to be back in the saddle?
It's interesting. It's funny because I remember having to go through all these different projects that were just a complete nightmare and hassle. And this one's been a dream so far. They just basically dropped the problem in my lap and said, we know you know how to do this, so just do it and give us the results.
That's the best kind, right?
So they've just completely left me alone and just completely hands off. I barely talk to them at all. It's just kind of I do my work and hand it over to them, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, that's nice. Cool. Good to hear things are going well with that. Hopefully it leads to the enterprise sale you're looking for. So I read a book.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was my first ever.
Was it paper?
It's called Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future. And I have to say, I was really impressed with Elon Musk, the risks that he has taken. He made a bunch of money early on with an app. I don't even remember what it was called. It was before PayPal. And he just reinvested it. He like put it all on the line. I mean, that's tough, man. It's tough to make several million. I think he made 10 million or 20 million from the first one. And it was all back in to what eventually merged with PayPal. I think it was called X.com. And then he made 150, 200 million from PayPal, put it all back in to SpaceX and Tesla and SolarCity. And he was basically, if these things had not panned out and there were months and or years when it looked like all of them were going to fail, he would have basically been, I'll say broke. I mean, he wouldn't have been destitute on the street, but he would not have had very much money because it was all tied up in these companies. And then they have all succeeded wildly. And he's making $1 billion now. And certainly he's not doing it for the money, but I was really impressed by this guy's ability to deal with stress, his ability to work extremely, extremely hard for long periods of time. And just his sheer raw intelligence, like his IQ must be off the charts. So it was a really enjoyable listen for me. If you haven't listened to it, I definitely recommend it, just as a tale of someone who perseveres and who puts it all on the line over and over and is really changing the world, frankly. I mean, if a lot of startups talk about starting something to change the world and it's like, yeah, you know, you're building a delivery service for cat food or whatever. Like, I don't know how much that changes the world, but the stuff Elon Musk is doing now is literally driving our species forward.
There's demons in the closet too.
What do you mean?
How do I put it? Like, I've heard stories and stuff about like his divorce and how his ex-wife has come out and said that it was just very difficult living with him because he was so driven to succeed and driven towards certain different things.
I think that's really important to call out, actually. If you look at the quote-unquote great people like the Henry Fords, the Ben Franklins, the George Washingtons, the, I don't know, the great industrialists or the Steve Jobs or the Bill Gates or what, you know, the people who do big things like this, they almost always, almost invariably have complete train wrecks for personal lives because they value their goal of doing the business or of changing the world or whatever have you more than they value people. And yeah. So I don't model myself after these people, right? I mean, I've chosen the exact opposite, but they all have multiple divorces. They all have these terrible marriages. A lot of them have kids that disown them. I think Ben Franklin's, all of his kids disowned him. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs disowned his own kids.
Right? I mean they're train wrecks. And it's actually interesting. Remember Sarah Hatter had a quote a couple years ago at MicroConf. She said, don't take business advice from people who have terrible personal lives or don't have work-life balance, something like that. I really take that to heart. Like, I'm not going to start a business like Elon Musk or Steve Jobs or any of those guys. But fortunately, those seem to be the folks that actually do kind of change things on a world scale.
I wonder how much of that is about the control that they exert over the business. And, I mean, because if you look at Steve Jobs as an example, I mean, he's notorious for having exerted absolute control over various parts of the business. And in your personal life, it's very difficult to do that because there are people in your life, they're not your employees. Your kids are not your employees. Your wife is not your employee or your spouse or whoever. And so you can't exert that level of control or that degree that you could if it was the business and you are basically giving the person a paycheck. So I think that it becomes difficult for them to deal with their personal lives because they can't exert that control. And maybe that's why they're train wrecks.
For sure. I would say that's a big part of it. The other thing I think is it's like being obsessed with your goal. It's being kind of a workaholic, I'll say. It's like if you work 80 or 90 hour weeks, which all of the people that I mentioned did, if not more, I think Elon's working 100 hour weeks or some crazy thing and has done it for years, you can't really maintain relationships with a life that looks like that.
No, I mean, and he kind of goes even one step further, I think, doesn't he? He owns two public companies, doesn't he? SpaceX and Tesla? Is SpaceX public?
SpaceX is not public.
It's not public.
I think SolarCity might be.
But either way, I mean, that's still a heck of a lot of responsibility and probably not enough time to deal with all of it. And once you try to throw a personal life in there, it's hard to carve that out. So you need to have somebody within your personal life who's going to be understanding that they are certainly not the number one priority and they may not even make the top 10.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to go through 14 ideas for high-impact lead magnets. And I was thinking about this because I've talked to a bunch of people recently about the types of things that they can offer as part of their website in order to get people to basically hand over their email address. So I think the most common one that I've seen that's been recommended is an email course of some kind. And obviously, you're very familiar with those through Drip. But I think that there's other ones that people either overlook in favor of an email course that are potentially less work or have a different ROI in certain cases or are a better fit for certain types of customers. So what I wanted to do is go through some of these different ideas for different lead magnets because I think that people just kind of gloss over them and think that an email course is the only one. And it's probably one of the better ones, but I don't think that's the only one that people should be looking at. So I think before we start, we want to talk about exactly what a lead magnet is. And as it kind of implies, lead magnet is designed to essentially help you generate leads. And that could be leads for your product or for a course that you're selling or just want to add to your email list. But the basic idea is that you're creating something and you're offering it to them in exchange to get for their email address. So that's the primary goal for you is to get somebody's email address. But you have to be able to provide them something of value that is significant enough that they're going to give you that email address. So the whole premise behind a lead magnet is that you're using it to essentially bribe somebody to give you their email address.
Yeah, and I've heard people call it an opt-in bribe, and I don't like that term. To me, it has like a negative connotation to it. I've always called it an opt-in reward, but I think a lead magnet is probably a better term and a more common term for this. So to kick us off, the first idea we have for lead magnets is, of course, an email course, and that's what you mentioned. I tend to lean towards email courses. 5-day and 7-day email courses work really well. The real reason that I like them the most is it gets a subscriber used to hearing from you on a regular basis, and it gets them used to opening your emails, and they do tend to consume them because they're smaller pieces of content. If you send someone, let's say, an ebook or a PDF, I don't know how many of those I have on my desktop or in some folder somewhere that I've never read. Whereas when I sign up for email courses, I do tend to read them when I have spare time. I'll read them on my mobile if they're in my certain category in Gmail. I just think they're consumed more. I think it gets subscribers used to hearing from you and opening emails, which also tells spam filters that people are opening and reading your emails. You know, Gmail, I know, uses behavior to determine whether it should deliver emails into the promotions or the other tabs. And I think that getting a 5 or 7 day email course kicked off will get the rest of your emails into their inbox if people are reading the early ones. So that's why I like putting them together. I also think they're fairly easy to assemble. We give away a free kind of blueprint, which is the shell of putting together a 5 day course. Even if you don't sign up for Drip, we give it away in our knowledge base, and we can link that up in the show notes. But we have a bunch of blueprints that people use within Drip if you're a customer, and you can just click and kind of enter some specific content to you, but the intro and the outro are already in there. So it doesn't take a ton of time to set one of these up.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of email courses as well. And they work well, as you said. They do train people to open your emails, and they do help you bypass some of those spam filters. Because if Google recognizes, or other email providers recognize, that you are not flagging those as spam and you are taking action inside of that email course, then it is more likely to let other things through when you are, for example, presenting a specific offer to somebody, or you're running a flash sale or just a regular promotion of any kind. They're going to let that through because they already let 5 or 7 other emails through that you accepted and you looked at and you probably clicked through. So that's very helpful from the standpoint of the person offering it. And if the person is getting value out of it, then clearly they're going to be clicking on those.
If I could think of maybe 2 drawbacks to give the other side of the story, I think email courses do take longer to create than some of the other options we're going to list. And I think in some markets, they might be oversaturated with email courses and they might be valued less than, say, an ebook or a cheat sheet.
I think one of the other good points about an email course is that it helps to promote trust and it helps establish you as some sort of an expert in whatever the industry is that you are promoting the email course on. So if you've created an email course on how to create landing pages, for example, whoever is receiving those is going to look at you as essentially the de facto expert of landing pages. And that may not necessarily be true, but that's going to be their perception. And when it comes to selling to that audience, the perception piece of it is extremely important.
You said that it builds trust. I also like that it builds trust over time. Even if it's only 5 or 7 days, if someone hears from you every day, there's just a little bit more of a longer-term relationship than if they get one email from you with a PDF toolkit or something, and you read through it and you're like, that was cool. It's not something where you've touched base with them every day. So I think there's probably a difference in the trust level there.
The next lead magnet that you can use is a report of some kind. And for an example of this, you can head over to micropreneur.com, put in your email address, and you'll get a short PDF that essentially outlines the high-level concepts of what a micropreneur is and kind of walks you through the thought process behind starting a business. And micropreneur.com is a website that Rob and I host, part of the Micropreneur Academy. But you can generate a report and create a PDF or a Word document that can be associated with a landing page where people just go in, they enter in their email address, and they will get a report. And that report can be a sample report from an application that you have. It can be a sample set of data. It can even just be what you stand for, what sorts of ideas that you're trying to promote, your manifesto, so to speak. So there's a lot of different ways that you can leverage a report like that. But my advice, I think, in most cases would probably be to use a specific landing page for that report, because you really want that to be on its own page where you're driving traffic to it that is relevant to that. And I think that if you have multiple different types of reports that you're going to offer, then you need to be able to drive traffic that is relevant to that type of report. And sometimes you're going to be able to change the landing page copy, and sometimes it's going to be a little bit more difficult just because of the type of people who are coming. So if, let's say that you are doing something around email marketing, there's going to be people who are much further along, and you're going to want to offer them a different type of report than somebody who is much more entry level. So you have to balance those types of things, and I probably wouldn't necessarily recommend putting both of those on the same page, for example.
Right. And the other advantage to a report is if your audience happens to be more audio inclined, let's say it's has something to do with podcasts, or you know that they might listen to podcasts, you can turn a report into an audio report pretty quickly with a USB headset, read for 15, 20 minutes, do a little bit of editing. And then you have now a report in PDF and an audio version of it. It's pretty powerful. I mean, it's worth a lot to a lot of people to be able to listen to that. The other advantage, by the way, of having it on its own page is if you're going to build links to it, it can get some SEO juice and rank for a specific term. Now, in some cases, it's not relevant, but in others, having it hosted on your own website can just be better. Our third idea for a high-impact lead magnet is a cheat sheet or a handout. I've also heard Clay at Lead Pages call this like a tools list, top 10 tools to get really good at taking pictures, or top 10 things that the best gardeners use to trim their hedges or whatever. The nice part about this, I think the biggest advantage is these are pretty easy to put together, especially if you're already in a space and you're knowledgeable. You could probably type this up as text in 5 or 10 minutes off the top of your head. And it intrigues people. People like tools lists, people like cheat sheets. I think there's some value in just getting something out there quickly.
I like that idea of just typing up something in Word or Notepad or something like that. And that at least gets the ideas out of your head. And then you can turn around and hand it off to a designer who could then make it look pretty and could make it in something that could actually be printed out. I've seen things from Dave Collins over at Software Promotions where they have a Google AdWords cheat sheet, which is essentially, it's a kind of a 4-page flyer that walks through all these different concepts about how you should be using Google AdWords and what sorts of things you should be paying attention to, which sorts of gotchas there are or areas where you need to take a little bit of extra care. And it talks about each and every single one of those on this Google AdWords cheat sheet. And it's really well put together. There's tons and tons of information on it. I've had that cheat sheet laying around for probably close to a year and a half now. I mean, it's really good.
Other nice thing about a cheat sheet is if you just type this up in a text editor real quick and then go into something like Microsoft Word or Publisher and just get one of their reasonable templates, you know, you don't even need something fancy, but just something that looks reasonably professional, you can kind of paste it in there, use their existing styles, and maybe not even need to hire anybody to make it look really good. So I think you can get by without having to invest a lot of time or money on this one.
The next lead magnet is a template. So you can make a downloadable template for a variety of different things. And these, I think, appeal very much to the do-it-yourself crowd, especially if your application, whatever your app is, automates the stuff inside of the template and tracks everything for you. I think a really good example of this is if you go over to BidSketch, you can download some sample templates of what their proposals look like. And you can even just modify them yourself if you really wanted to and just say, okay, I'm going to use this as my template. And you wouldn't have to necessarily buy the application. The application makes it a heck of a lot easier to replicate that over time and keep them all in one place and do all sorts of other things. But as a basic template to essentially get someone started, they're still valuable because they can use them by hand until they get to a point where in their business, it makes sense for them to invest in a tool that will automate some of the rest of the stuff.
And LeadPages did this a lot in the early days. I think they still do it where they talk about a landing page template in a blog post, and then at the bottom for an email opt-in, they give away that template in HTML. And obviously that template is available inside LeadPages if you sign up. And I heard that it is very successful for them. Tim Page has talked about that on a couple of webinars. Our fifth idea for a high-impact lead magnet is to give away a free video. So a training video, a walkthrough of something. And I think the key here is that video over time, it used to be super, super valuable because no one was producing it. But over time, I feel like it's becoming maybe a little less valuable. And so just giving away a single video, it depends on the market, right? But some people might not be that wowed with it. It's also, you can't listen to it on the go and you need to carve out time with audio. You're probably not going to want to watch it at work in your cubicle or whatever. But so there's some drawbacks to it in terms of it's a little bit more difficult to consume than these other things. However, if you have a pretty well-produced video and you keep things paced pretty quickly and you have a really good title for it, like 3 Secrets You Must Know in Order to Do Email Marketing or the walkthrough that no one else will show you or whatever, I mean, something that intrigues and kind of builds that interest, I think there's a lot of value. The other thing is if you're reasonably good, whether it's on camera or doing screencasts, video can be super easy to produce and take you 5 or 10 minutes if you can get it done in a couple of takes. I produced a bunch of screencasts and they get easier and easier over time. And so this is one that could potentially have high perceived value if you title it correctly and you keep the pacing moving, but really not take a ton of time to produce.
the thing that I really like about doing a video is that if you have a link back to your site for them to view the video and you're not embedding the video directly into the email, you can get a sense of how much people are actually watching that by using analytics on your webpage to figure out whether people are watching 30 seconds into the video and just canceling it or watching the entire video. And I know that there's certain ways to see how much people are leveraging the things that you are sending. So for example, if you send somebody an email course, you can look at open rates. If you're sending people a PDF, you can check the download numbers and things like that. But just because somebody downloaded a PDF doesn't mean that they actually ever opened it and looked at it. And again, there are some tools that will allow you to do that, but it's a lot more advanced and it's a little bit less obvious that you're going to be able to get that information. Whereas with a video, you can track to see how far into the videos people are watching. And if you need to re-record some parts of the video or see which parts are resonating with people because they've watched that part of the video three or four times, you can get that information. And that's why I really like the idea of using these videos to send people to a web page and monitor their usage on that page.
If you're going to record a video, I would say record it as quickly as you can in terms of keeping the pacing going really fast, and then have someone edit it so that when you're typing, it just appears on the screen. No one wants to sit there and watch you type. And you can take like an 8-minute demo and crunch it down to between 4 and 6 minutes pretty easily if you just cut out time to load screens and time for you to fill in forms and all that stuff. And it will definitely increase the number of people who make it through the entire video if the thing moves faster and is just shorter overall.
The next lead magnet is a toolkit. And I think toolkits tend to consist of things like checklists and spreadsheets and guides about how to do different things. But essentially, it's a resource that people can leverage to perform a particular task. And these are really good for allowing people to manually do something that your application does automatically for them. So if you have this series of steps that somebody would have to go through, you can provide those as a checklist, or they could purchase your application and it will automatically be taken care of for them. But if they don't even know what those steps are, chances are good that you can take a lot of those things and add them into a checklist or a spreadsheet and package it up and allow them to download it as a toolkit. And you can market that toolkit in exchange for the email address so that you can then upsell them later to your full application. So the seventh idea is a free trial. And when I say free trial, most people say, oh, it's a free trial of the application. And I think that that's probably the wrong way to pitch it when you are offering this as a lead magnet, because you don't want to offer it as a free trial. You want to offer, let's say you're giving them 14 free days of your application. You want to offer them 14 days of whatever the beneficial output is. So for example, Ruben Gomez, who owns BidSketch, he offers a 14-day trial for proposals that can help make you more money for your business. And that's the way it's offered. It's not offered as a 14-day free trial for BidSketch. It's offered as that 14 days of proposals for you. So it's a very slight difference in the way that it's marketed.
Yeah, kind of pitching the benefit rather than pitching the fact that you're going to have to spend a bunch of time getting onboarded into an application, right? Pitching the benefit rather than the work the person has to do to get the benefit.
Exactly.
Our eighth idea for a high-impact lead magnet is an ebook or a physical book. Obviously, this tends to be a lot more work than something like a report. I would typically think a report is maybe 5 to 20 pages, whereas an ebook, I would think 40 to 200 pages. And a physical book is probably in the same realm. I mean, you could have a paperback book that's 50, 60, 70 pages. I know Jason Cohen had used this at a Smart Bear, where he wrote a book about code reviews and would give away paperback copies. I don't even remember if you had to pay shipping. I think they might just give it away.
They gave it away. Yep.
They gave it away totally, and they covered the cost. And he said that when they would go in to do sales calls and they saw that book up on the shelf, it was a shoe-in because they had literally written the book on the topic. So it's a total no-brainer. I think if your market and your price point warrants it, that and you have the time or can produce something like this, I think this is pretty valuable.
The ninth idea is access to a community. And I've seen this a lot in different info products, but you can offer access to a set of forums or to a Slack chat instance or anything along those lines where people are essentially buying into this community aspect for a particular type of product. And I think that it works really well when you are trying to educate people about how to do something, whether that's design skills or programming skills or how to build a business or how to do an email campaign. there's lots of different ways that people want to communicate. And by providing them access to a particular community, that can be one benefit that people will buy into. One that I see do this really, really well is growthhackers.com, where you go over there. And one of the benefits of growthhackers.com is just having access to that community. And by joining the community, they get your email address. So it's really an interesting way of harvesting email addresses to send out promotional emails or educational emails and use those as leads for your product or your business.
Our 10th idea for Lead Magnet is a swipe file. So a collection of tools, information, guides, or text snippets, et cetera, that you have picked up from your experience in the niche. So if you are selling to copywriters, and that's probably a really common swipe file that I've heard of, it's a bunch of headline ideas. Here's my swipe file of 100 of the best headlines that I've ever seen. And they serve as good inspiration. And frankly, a good swipe file is worth quite a bit. And if you already have it lying around, it's kind of a no-brainer to issue it. And it certainly doesn't need to be formatted very well. That's the other advantage. You could literally just do it as a Word doc or a text file.
Our 11th idea is running a webinar. And I like webinars because they have this sense of reality to it, where it's not just a video. For a webinar, the idea that you're kind of pitching to people is they have to show up. And I've seen people put into their webinar email campaigns, and when they're inviting you, they say, oh, we only have space for so many people. And sometimes just because they want to say that and it's just part of their marketing copy, but other times there are technical limitations on the software that they're using. So depending on their level of GoToWebinar, for example, there might only be 25 spaces or 100 spaces available for them to run the webinar. And that can be a very good incentive for people to sign up and attend the webinar. But because it is a live session, you can ask questions on the spot. And if you're really interested in it, you're going to show up and you're going to be there for the live webinar versus the recording that may or may not be emailed afterwards.
I've been skeptical of webinars because I'm just not a fan of them personally, but they're huge. Everyone who I hear who starts doing them has a lot of success with them. So I think there's a real value that people put on a live presentation like this. And I think it's absolutely something that you'll want to move to. Now, it's a bit time intensive to set up, obviously, and it's something you have to do on an ongoing basis. It's not like a toolkit or an ebook that you can write once and give away. But already the webinars that we've done for Drip and partnering with other companies, they have been quite successful in terms of the number of trials we get out of them. So I think there's a lot of value there.
Well, you mentioned the part about, you know, it's time intensive to do, and you'll have to create multiple webinars, I think. You want to be able to pitch it to different segments of the population in different ways, especially if it's for the exact same product. But if you have a sequence of, let's say, 6 or 8 different webinars that you've put together that are related or similar or overlapping in some way, shape, or form, and you've tweaked the copy and, you know, headlines and things like that, you can then repeat them. Because if people didn't make it to one of them, if they're on your email list, then you could potentially get them to one of your other webinars.
Our 12th idea for Lead Magnet is a case study. So it's like a deep dive into a specific type of problem, a before and after. So what's great is if you have existing customers, it's so easy to do case studies because you can just interview them on Skype and either use that, do a video case study of it. You could have it transcribed, or you could just take notes off of it and write up blog posts. Case studies can have a lot of impact because people get to see the true before and after of using your service. And there's value here, even though you don't have to produce a ton of the content.
Our 13th lead magnet is free consultations. And I think with a free consultation, you really need to be very targeted on the type of problems that you're solving. But I think that it's also a very good lead gen for a high-priced product. I don't think that you want to do free consultations for a product that's $39 or anything like that. But if you have a relatively high-priced product, then those free consultations can turn into thousands and thousands of dollars of revenue or annual contracts. I mean, it kind of depends on what it is that you're offering. But at the end of the day, you want to be able to have that consultation so you can get on people's radar and talk to people directly. This is, I think, extremely important early on when you're still trying to figure out what your ideal customer is. But again, it goes back to what your price point is. And if you have a higher priced product, it works a lot better than if you have a lower priced product, because it's just not going to be worth it if the price point is below a certain point.
And our 14th and final idea for high impact lead magnets are to do a short interview and get a transcript as well. And what I like about this one is you can give away two formats. So you have both audio and something in text. And this doesn't require you to create much content. And you can just pick an expert in the space. So, for example, with email marketing, I interviewed Patrick McKenzie about a bunch of different specific email marketing questions. And then I have it transcribed and we have video of it. You can make an audio of it. And so you don't have to create the content, but you get an expert who is essentially lending their credibility to it. And you can get some really good opt-in rates if people know who that expert is because you have name recognition. And so even if you're in a niche where you are not an expert, let's say you were doing horseback riding or something, you just need to find that big name and interview them. They probably haven't been interviewed by many people if you're in a small niche. And then you don't have to learn all the stuff. You have a little bit of content there that you're able to kick out. So I've always liked this idea as a way to get a lead magnet up pretty quickly, but one that has quite a bit of value to it.
So those are the 14 different ideas for high impact lead magnets. And I think that there's a couple of things that you want to consider when trying to decide on what lead magnet that you're going to create. And I think the very first one is, what is the goal of that lead magnet? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Is it that you are trying to get people to trust you? Is it that you're trying to get people to have familiarity with you or brand awareness? Or are you trying to establish yourself as an expert? That is probably going to dictate the majority of what the content is. And then you also have to think about what types of formats your audience is going to be interested in consuming. Is it going to be video? Is it going to be a swipe file? Is it going to be an email course? What is appropriate for not only the goals that you're trying to achieve, but the way that your audience is going to consume that information? And the last thing to think about is, what type of prospect do you think that you're going to attract? And I think that's probably an extremely important piece of it, because if you're attracting the wrong people, then it's probably not a good idea to create that type of lead magnet. So to recap our 14 ideas for high impact lead magnets, number one, an email course. Number two, a report. Number three, cheat sheets or handouts. Number four, templates. Number five, free videos. Number six, toolkits. Number seven, free trials. Number eight, ebooks or physical books. Number nine, access to a community. Number 10, swipe files. Number 11, webinars. Number 12, case studies. 13, free consultations. And 14, interviews with transcripts. And the last thing to mention is, we'll link up a couple of different resources from this podcast in the show notes for this episode. You'll find them over at digitalmarketer.com and petovera.com.
If you have a question for us, call our voicemail number at 888-801-9690 or email us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from our Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for Startups and visit startupsfortherestofus.com for a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.